I'm Vic Johnson, and you're watching Goals to Go. This is a show about learning how to set your goals, and then we'll give you the tools and techniques of the rich and famous to show you how to achieve them. Today, the topic is becoming the person you need to be to achieve your goals, and we could not have anyone who knows that better. One of the great things for me about doing this show is I get to meet my heroes. I get to be around my heroes, and this is a hero in my life. He's a guy who's spoken to more than 6,000 audiences around the world. More than 4 million people. It's incredible. Just sitting here before we started today, asking him what his upcoming travels are, literally all over the world. He's a guy who has mentored and touched the lives of tens, hundreds of thousands of people. Jim Rohn, thank you for joining us today.
Vic, it's great to be here. Right.
You've said that to have more than you've got to become more than you are.
A philosophy I picked up when I was 25 years old when I met a very extraordinary man by the name of Earl Schoaf, and he said, success is something you attract by becoming an attractive person. It's not something you pursue. What you pursue more often than not eludes you, but to become an attractive person. In leadership, I teach to attract attractive people, you must be attractive. And he called it self-development, personal development. And then a phrase that I've lectured on around the world, work harder on yourself than you do on your job. If you work hard on your job, you can make a living, which is fine. If you work hard on yourself, you can make a fortune, which is super fine.
Mm-hmm.
So that philosophy sort of became the centerpiece of my lectures all these years, personal development,
right.
Work on yourself.
Right.
I started in terms of the business side, developing goals and developing skills I never had before,
right,
to achieve my overall goals for myself and for my family. I knew how to milk cows. I was raised in Southwest Idaho, you know, farm country, but it didn't pay very well. Then I started on a little part-time basis with a product and health and nutrition that I believed in, and learned sales, how to get customers, and then how to turn customers into referrals and get some more. And the better you take care of them, the more business you do.
Right.
They'll help you find people you could never find on your own. So that was the first extra skill besides those, you know, little farm skills of, you know, cutting weeds and milking cows. But that started me on a journey of personal development in terms of skills and disciplines.
Right.
The next one I learned was how to find good people. If you've got a project going and you need to have some people join you in the project, how to find them. And there's a simple Bible phrase that says, if you search, you will find. So I come up with the philosophy, finding is reserved for the searchers.
Uh-huh.
You know, not those who hope, not those who wish, but those who search.
Uh-huh.
And it also says, if you want an open door of opportunity, you have to go knocking on doors.
Right.
So I really picked up on those early philosophies of developing skills and the reason for doing it. The next skill I learned, which probably paid huge money, multiplied my income, was getting people to work together.
Right.
Again, it comes from a Bible phrase that says, if two or three agree on a common purpose, nothing is impossible. By yourself, sometimes it's really tough. But if you can get somebody to join you and say, come on, let's do this. Let's do it is a very powerful phrase. You rarely hear someone say, I'm going to go conquer the world. But you could hear the phrase, let's go conquer the world. Let's be best in our industry. Let's be number one. The power of let's. So I learned the value of that. All of my entrepreneurial projects are, you know, not just myself, but two, three, four, getting together to accomplish something unique.
Right.
Then I learned the power of recognition and rewarding people for small steps of progress. And be so busy giving other people recognition, you really don't need it for yourself.
Right.
And that embraces then that phrase that Zig uses all the time. If you help enough people get what they want, you can have everything you want.
Right.
I heard Zig say that probably almost 50 years ago. And I underlined the word everything. I thought, how? This is it. To get everything you want, help enough people get what they want.
Right.
Then I guess the greatest skill that changed my life was learning communication. And I divided it into three parts. First was training, showing somebody here's how the job works. The next was teaching somebody how life works.
Right.
And one of the most important aspects of that for me was learning how to set goals.
Right.
My mentor one day said to me, Mr. Roan, let me see your current list of goals, and let's go over and talk about it. He said, I've got some experience. I'm sure I can help you. And I said, I don't have a list. He said, really? He said, I can tell you right now, if you don't have a list of your goals, I can guess your bank balance within a few hundred dollars.
Wow.
Which he did.
Wow.
And that got me thinking. I said, do you mean my bank balance would change if I had a list of goals? He said, drastically. That was the day I learned how to set goals.
Okay.
Decide what you want. You know, write them all down. Who do you want to meet? Make that list. The books you want to read, make that list. The places you want to go, make that list. The experiences you want to have, make that list. Education for your family, make that list. So I started making all these lists. Then he said, just start checking them off. So at first I put a lot of little things on my list so I could check off something almost every day.
Right.
Because that's what's fun.
Right.
Then he said, if you check off something significant, celebrate.
Right.
Because that'll inspire you to even develop a longer list.
Right.
So that's what drove me, developing skills, disciplines, and then learning communication and learning how not just to train,
right,
but to teach. Then the ultimate communication skill was inspiring other people.
Right. Well, I know I've heard you share the story of where you were when you met Mr. Shove. Like a lot of people find themselves, you were broke.
Yeah.
You were struggling. You were discouraged. And you met this person who you knew, as you shared with me, that he could be a life changer, that he could have a big influence on your life. After you got, so to speak, on the right path, what was the first trait that you went to work on personally? What did you feel like you had to change first about yourself?
I had to develop a real appetite for learning.
Okay. You weren't a learner up to that point?
Well, you know, just sort of get by.
Okay.
You know, or how to get an increase in pay or... you know, just those sort of basic fundamental skills of survival.
Right.
But he said, you got to pursue learning in a manner in which really will help you to grow and help you to change. You know, take the classes, develop the skills. So I think that was number one, become a real searcher for knowledge and awareness and understanding.
Right.
That's why I think today is probably the best opportunity for people to really change their lives, is because so much is available.
Right.
If you, you know, take a look, seminars and books and classes you know, night classes, there's so much available.
Right.
That if you utilize it, some you might just have to try. I wonder if I could learn this. And then you say later, no, this is not really what I want to pursue. But it's okay. Then right. Try something else and something else.
Right.
And then Mr. Shove really went after me on developing my library.
Right.
And using it as a source of... knowledge, awareness, understanding. And he said, what you think about is like this sail on the sailboat. No matter how the storm blows or how the winds blow, if you've got a place you want to arrive, you can't arrive there by cursing the contrary winds.
Right.
You arrive there by adjusting the set of the sail.
Right.
And he said, that's your thinking, that's ideas, that's information. And if you're short on that, sure enough, it's going to cause you difficulty in the future.
Right. Well, you set out to become a learner, and I know that over the years that you've become a voracious reader. You read a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And it really surprised me the first time I heard you outline some of the things you've read. What, because it's not what someone might think traditionally is personal development, but well, share your reading list or the types of things that you've read with us.
The centerpiece of my library I got from a book called How to Read a Book.
Okay.
By Mortimer Adler.
Okay.
And he's got a list in there of what he calls the greatest books ever written. So I use that as a centerpiece for my library. Right. And it includes the classics, you know, and Shakespeare and all the rest, and the Bible and, you know, that those very basic, fundamental writings that everybody should take a look at.
Right.
And so I started with that. But then all the rest of it, you know, Think and Grow Rich that we've heard about for so long, that goes way back. As a Man Thinketh by James Allen
Right.
Made a big impression on me. And my parents made sure I was a pretty good scholar of the Bible by the time I was 19. So I use it as a great source as well.
Right. And what do you, someone who doesn't like to read, you know, how do they take an attitude of walk away from a book? How do they become someone who loves to read?
I don't know. I think part of it is if you don't read well,
right,
there's all kinds of classes you can take on developing speed reading where you can read much faster.
Right.
And get through a book, you know, in a few days rather than, you know, a couple of months.
Right.
If you read 2 books a week for 10 years, you've read 1,000 books.
Wow.
And you couldn't read 1,000 books in the next 10 years without it drastically affecting every part of your life.
Right.
So part of it is if you don't read well,
right,
you know, sometimes you just get discouraged and say, well, I'm reading too slow, it takes too long.
Right.
But even if you read slow, you just have to do it every day and push yourself to read a little faster and read a little faster. But these classes, John Kennedy, when he was president, insisted that every member of his staff went through a speed reading course.
Right.
Evelyn Wood, who, her course became famous. And because he understood the value of everybody expanding their mind and their knowledge. And not that you do everything you read, but... just the resource in terms of knowledge, awareness, understanding is powerful.
Right. So, you know, I'm engaged in some type of reading program. I've become a learner. Obviously, at the point you found yourself, you had some negative habits that came to light pretty quickly, probably, with Mr. Shove.
Well, my most severe negative habit was, you know, lack of having a good financial plan. So he said, show me your financial plan. I said, I don't have a financial plan. I'm just struggling to pay my bills. And I get a little embarrassed when a creditor calls and says, hey, you told us the check was in the mail. And he said, well, evidently the last 6 years, I'd been working 6 years before I met him. I quit school when I was 19.
Right.
Went to work. I'm now 25. That's 6 years. And I just didn't have a good financial plan. So I changed all of that, starting at age 25, and by age 31, 32, I was a millionaire.
Okay.
The difference can be so dramatic.
Right.
And whether you've neglected a financial plan, or whether you've neglected your health, or whether you've neglected your relationships, and the quality of the relationship is okay, you're getting by, but maybe there's 75% of it you haven't explored in terms of value and promise for the future. Any neglect is worth taking a look at and see if you can't find some ways to remedy.
When you're 25, 26 years old, you've seen a side of life you've never seen before. You certainly saw where you wanted to go. How did you develop the belief inside that you could get there? Because you went in a relatively 6 years. I mean, goodness gracious, who wouldn't trade 6 years to go from...
Right.
To a billionaire.
That was a fast track. Part of that was learning the ability to attract other people. You can't do it by yourself, earn that kind of money, or make the investments that, you know, make that kind of return. I think the early changes in my attitude were so dramatic that drove me on. I thought, wow, if I can make this much progress in this short of time, I wonder what I can accomplish, you know, a year from now. So that was powerful. Little things like the excuses I used to use for not doing well.
Okay.
Mr. Shove said, you've worked 6 years now, Mr. Roan. How come you're not doing well? And I says, well, I showed him my paycheck and said, this is all they pay. You can't do well with this kind of paycheck. And he said, well, you're really not correct. This is not all they pay. I said, no, yes, this is my paycheck. He says, no, this is all they pay you. I thought, wow, I'd never looked at it like that before. He said, don't some people earn 5 times this amount, right, in the same company? I said, well, yes. He said, well, then this is not all they pay. This is all they pay you.
Right.
And if you were to qualify for the 5 times of this amount, wouldn't your check be 5 times this amount? I said, well, I never thought about that. So he said, it's not, you know, you don't blame the company. You know, just look within yourself. If you were more qualified and had more skills and rendered better service, more productivity, then everything would change. Then he gave me a phrase that's lingered with me all these years, and I teach it everywhere I go around the world. And he said, if you will change, Mr. Roan, everything will change for you. If you change your habits of eating, your health will change. If you change your skill level, your income will change. If you refine your attitude and personality, you'll start attracting people into your life that'll help you become successful. And that was true. And he said, the more you change yourself, the more things will change for you. Because up until then, I used to cross my fingers every day and say, I sure hope things will change. With him, I tried to use the excuse, say, things cost too much. He said, no, you can't afford them.
Right.
I thought, well, that's another way to look at it. He said, it's not it, Mr. Rohn. It costs too much. Taxes are too high. I said, no, it's not taxes, and it's not it, and it's not prices, and it's not circumstances. It's you.
Right.
Let's go to work on
right.
you. Well, that was revolutionary for me, Vic.
Right. You changed a lot in those six years, obviously. When you started out, what were some of the daily things that you did differently, that you began to do differently? Daily habits, for instance, that you
One was my reading habits, but then the other was to, you know, be a little more efficient in time management. Little phrase I use now and I teach around the world, don't start the day until you have it finished.
And so we're going to plan tomorrow before we begin.
It's like building a house. When should you start building a house?
Right.
The answer is as soon as it's finished.
Right.
Wouldn't it be foolish to start building a house if it wasn't finished?
Right.
If you were out there laying bricks and someone said, what are you doing here? I said, I'm building a house. And they said, what kind of house? And you say, I really don't know. I'm just laying bricks and getting started.
Right.
You know, they'd come take you away, right?
I mean,
it's foolish. So don't start the house until you have it finished. Don't start the day until you have it finished. Have a pretty good idea. This is what I want to accomplish today, and have that done before the day starts. If you wake up in the morning and say, let's see, what should I do today? It's a little late.
A little late.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Now, the if you've seen in your own life and the lives of thousands and thousands of people go out and set goals, fail miserably, you know, using every process known to man, so obviously it's not the process. What do you see as one of the biggest reasons why people fail when it comes to achieving goals?
Well, part of it is, and I learned that it doesn't hurt to cast aside some of the goals that you set. You say, I can see now that's too far away.
Right.
That's out of my reach.
Right.
Let me start with something easier and more simple. Maybe I could recapture that some other time, but there's no use living in delusion, right? Why not be a little more practical?
Right.
So, you know, it doesn't hurt to just rearrange your goal or tear up the list and start over.
Right.
So, you know, reaching for something and not achieving it, you know, that's common to all of us. And sometimes that's necessary to start you in another direction.
Right.
That's going to fulfill much more of your dreams and visions of the future.
Right.
When one door closes, you can't say, well, I'll knock on this door forever. Say, well, not really. I would try another door. They told me to stay here forever till I die
right.
for this door to open. Say, no. Are there any other doors? And, well, yes. Say, I'd try another door.
Right.
If you keep planting 3 or 4 years in this plot of ground and it never yields a harvest, that would be good advice to try another piece of ground. Say, no, I'm sticking with this, you know, until I die. Say, no. There's opportunity everywhere. So sometimes that's it. Reaching for a goal, not achieving it. One of my friends wanted to be a medical doctor, but he just didn't have the grades. And trying to get the grades to, you know, go to medical school.
Right.
So he finally settled for, you know, a little less demanding in terms of qualification
right.
to get in the nursing home business.
Right.
Became a superstar
right.
in the nursing home business in
right.
Southeast Idaho.
Right.
So that was the place really suited for him, where it looked like what he originally really wanted couldn't achieve. It would have been poor advice to have said to him, no, regardless, right, hang in there and become a doctor.
Right. Well, I heard you say something a minute ago. I got to go back to it because it kind of flies in the face of what you hear sometimes. But you said, you know, sometimes you need to tear the goal up.
Yeah.
So when do we know that we don't need to persist anymore? What's the difference in knowing? Because there has to be a point where, you know, you've got to persist up to a point. But at what point do you say it's not persistence any longer? It's not the right goal.
I don't know. Part of that's experience, Vic.
Yeah.
You just got to do some things, fall on your face. Have you ever looked back and said, wow, on that project, I spent too much time and too much money.
Right.
And it's over. And yeah. You spent the time and you spent the money. But now if you've learned that lesson, say, I'm going to spend now on my future projects a lot less time and a lot less money before I, you know, make the decision.
Right.
Neil Armstrong said going to the moon was just solving a couple of problems.
Okay.
I thought, well, that's simple. What are a couple of problems? He said, problem number one, how to get there. And you work that all out. Then problem number two, how to get back. And you work that out. Then he said, it's very important not to leave until you've solved both problems. And I thought, wow, I could have used that advice earlier. Because I said, here's how I'm going to get in this business project. Here's how I'm going to get in. I never designed how to get out.
Never planned your exit. Yeah. I understand.
So I've been through some of those, you know.
Sure.
Many times. But that's how we learn. That's how we grow. If over a period of reasonable years, you have a reasonable amount of success you'd hoped for, that's good. That's a good life. Not everything. Not perfection.
Right.
Not everything you wanted. Because sometimes what we thought we wanted, in my beginning of setting goals, there were some goals that I set that I didn't really count on what it was going to cost to achieve those goals.
Okay.
And so I adjusted those and said, no, that's going to cost too much.
Right. So it's okay.
I don't want to pay that kind of price. Yes.
It's okay. If the price at some point in time is more than you're willing to pay to chuck it, does it make you any less?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because the key, Vic, to life is designing and living a good life.
Right.
And I got a good phrase for you. I'm now using it in my seminars. From testimonials and personal experience, we have enough information to conclude that it's possible to design and live an extraordinary life.
Okay.
And no matter what you go through, disappointments on goals you didn't reach, always keep that in mind.
Okay.
That from testimonials of others and personal experience yourself, there's enough information to keep saying it's possible to design and live an extraordinary life.
Right. Well, I know one of the elements of an extraordinary life, and you led me down this path, was you said that life is a collection of experiences.
That's it.
And I looked at mine and did not like the experience. Didn't like my collection.
Yeah, let's
and,
set
and
up the
And your advice has led
new...
to some incredible experiences for me.
I appreciate that.
And what I'd like, if you could share some of your experiences with us, how your life has been enriched. And I know that I've heard you say if you're going to eat beans, eat them in Boston.
Yeah, that's right. It's called Lifestyle of the Best Kind. So I started this list long, long time ago, and people that I've talked to about it keep coming back to me over all these years saying, I did some of what you suggested. You got to have Boston baked beans in Boston. It's okay to have them in California where you live, right? Go
sure.
to the supermarket and get them. But you start making this list. Yes, I got to have Boston baked beans, but I got to be in Boston. I come from Idaho, right? We grow
right.
potatoes. You
sure.
got to have an Idaho baked potato.
Sure.
In Idaho.
Right.
Go to Idaho and have an Idaho baked potato. Maui onions, right? Famous around the world.
Sure.
It's okay to eat them somewhere else, California, wherever you live. But the goal is go to Maui and have Maui onions.
Right.
Go to Canada and drink Canada Dry. I mean, you know, whatever the list is, Vic. You just,
well, you've got this list, and you've obviously lived a very rich life. I mean, I just marvel when I get around you and hear of your travels. And you gave me your travel list before we started today. Quickly, share your travel list just for the upcoming
future.
Yeah,
in a few days I'll be headed for Santiago, Chile. Be there 4 or 5 days, and then I come home and head for Australia, South Korea, and 3 cities in India.
Wow.
You know, one of my greatest experiences, Vic, has been the last 12 years lecturing in Russia, teaching them capitalism.
Yeah.
All the major cities in Russia. Novosibirsk, Siberia. I've been there in the winter. Attending the theater in St. Petersburg. The Russian people are extraordinary. Once they got rid of communism and embracing capitalism, it's been incredible. Right. I've made 5 lecture tours of Russia in the last 12 years.
Wow.
And watching them embrace the ideas of capitalism, becoming entrepreneurs, developing the country as well as developing themselves and their businesses. That's extraordinary. Who would have thought? Kid raised, right? Farm country, Southwest Idaho, would have a chance to lecture on capitalism in Russia.
Wow. Well, you're truly living the life that you design. Mm. But early on, you know, when you're 25, 26, and you know now that you've got something you didn't have before, you've got a mentor, you've got a plan, you're taking action on it. But there were certainly times when discouragement hit and Jim wanted to go the other way, or, you know, Jim didn't believe it was ever going to happen. What did you do? What was your cure?
You know, part of it, two parts. One is, you know, good friends who help you through some of those tough times. But also part of it for me was just getting away. I don't do it anymore. My daughter finally persuaded me to give up my riding my dirt bike on the Jeep trails up on the mountains.
Okay.
But back then I used to do that.
Yeah.
Solitude I used to seek sometimes to get through some discouraging times.
Okay.
If it hurts, you just have to just let it hurt for a while.
Okay.
If you don't know, you just have to, you know, stay in the dark for a while till it passes. Mickey Mantle was my hero, right? I'm growing up.
Sure.
Playing for the Yankees. He used to have these batting slumps, right? He's a home run champion, you know, champion player. But he would get into these batting slumps where no matter how he changed his stance and everything, nothing seemed to work for a while. And he was asked one time, what do you do, Mickey, when you get in these batting slumps and nothing seems to work? He said, I just hang in there until it's over. That's a pretty good, simple approach,
sure,
right?
Sure.
But sometimes you got to go away and just, you know, put your head between your legs and just, you know, let it affect you however it's going to affect you. And then rise up and say, well, I've got a half a dozen things here I'm going to try. See if I can't make it work. Step by step, work your way out.
Sure.
But we all go through it. Abraham Lincoln, right? Greatest president America ever had, had melancholy.
Right.
And times of real discouragement.
Right.
As brilliant as he was, right. As brilliant a writer as he was, as unique a president as he was, he went through his moments. Yeah. But it's like wintertime, Vic. You know, winter doesn't last forever. There's never been a double winter. Some winters are difficult and some are easy, but, you know, you can get through it. Right. The night is only so long.
Right.
Just a few hours and it'll be over.
Right.
So you have to sort of use that kind of thinking as well.
Right. And I'm afraid this is over and you know, it's just been wonderful having you here today.
Thanks, Vic.
It's always great to be around you. I leave encouraged. I leave inspired. Thanks for joining us. And if you want to know more about Jim and his work, www.jimrohn.com. Join us next time for Mark Victor Hansen, and we're going to talk about No Dream Too Big. So thanks for joining us today. Now that you've got goals, it's time to go.